Hello, I'm Dan Le Batard, and we just got done talking to Billy Ray Cyrus. This is fresh. Billy Gill seems disoriented, confused. What would you tell the people about what they're about to listen to? Old Town Road is like the biggest song in the history of songs. It's crazy how this thing is being downloaded. Number one for 15 weeks. It is diamond status. I didn't know there was such a thing as a diamond status. It's the biggest song in the world since Candle in the Wind by Elton John. And we just talked to Billy Ray Cyrus, who's having another moment 30 years after having his last moment. And he's a little bit passionate, a little bit unreasonably passionate. And Billy Gill, I was talking about Billy Ray Cyrus there, but Billy Gill was in on this, and you were just laughing at me the entire
time. I'm disoriented. We went all over the place. We talked about a bunch of things, and we talked about baseball. Then we talked about something else, and then we get back to baseball.
I was trying to talk to him about music, and he's had an unusual journey. I mean, he basically started the line dancing craze with Achy Breaky Heart at the start of the 90s, and then next thing you know, he's with Lil Nas X, and he just was insistent about talking about Pete Rose. He didn't want to talk about baseball, Billy. That's not true. He wanted to talk about only Pete Rose. You tried to talk to him about baseball. That conversation didn't go well.
Well, he has his eyes laser focused on getting Pete Rose into the Hall of Fame, and that is all that we're going to do with baseball. And you know what? He even told us he had his mother film a video to get Pete Rose into the Hall of Fame. He didn't play that video for us, unfortunately, so you're going to miss that. But we're trying to negotiate with him to get that video because we feel like that is what's going to put it over the top and get him into the Hall of Fame.
You believe that this is the start of a movement right here with Billy Ray Cyrus using the power of the number one song in America and in the world, the number one song in the world, using the power of that to get Pete Rose at 78 years old into the Hall of Fame.
Whether I believe that or not is kind of irrelevant. Okay. Billy Ray Cyrus definitely believes that this is the start of a movement.
Okay.
And we're here for that movement if he wants
we
to come
here.
We
are here to support that movement. So we ask you to support the stuff we've got going on. One of those things is the LeBatardAF.shop that we're asking you to go to. It's a place where you could get some merch from us, and we will be expanding that in coming weeks and months, LeBatardAF.shop. But here he is, Old Town Road, number one for 15 weeks. Here's Billy Ray Cyrus. I didn't know there was a diamond status for a song, but this is basically the biggest song we've seen in America since Elton John, 1997. This is the biggest song that we have seen this century. Old Town Road, number one for 15 weeks, remains the number one song in the world. And Billy Ray Cyrus is with us now to talk about an uncommon song at this time in your career, Billy Ray. If I had gone back to Achy Breaky Heart and told you in 2019 you're going to have a song that is going to bust all the songs, you would have thought that was possible?
I'm not sure you were even alive in 1992.
I remember Achy Breaky Heart. I do remember that. I remember that entire that album was enormous.
How old, where were you and how old were you in 1992?
Well, I was born in 68, so I was 24. Like, I saw how that kicked off line dancing. I saw how country bars went from not having line dancing to having line dancing because of that damn song.
It was pretty crazy, man. And in a lot of ways, it shares that common denominator with Old Town Road. It's a movement. It's something that people universally latched on to that just felt good, and people could sing along and have unison with one another in celebration of song and dance. And when that happens every now and then, it's really special. And I somehow just got lucky enough to get to ride two of them, and it's just an unbelievable feeling. This thing with Old Town Road is just blowing my mind right now. You know, I started the whole Pete Rose movement last week. It was 14 weeks at number one then. And I saw this picture of Pete Rose with that one finger up. And I go, wow, man, I remember what Pete Rose meant to me and that tri-state area and Major League Baseball. And that's why when I put that picture up and said number 14, you know, I'll pop to the 14. And I think I even said Pete Rose deserves to be in the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. That kind of began this moment of you and I talking and getting together today.
What is your connection to that team? How old were you with the Concepcion, Joe Morgan, Johnny Bench, Tony Perez Reds? How old were you when you were locked in on them?
And Sparky Anderson as the coach. you know, and you're probably talking like absolute glory days was like 1975. And so I was born in 61. So I'm there again at that time. I'm playing second base as an 11-year-old on a 12-year-old all-star team. I loved baseball. I loved the game of baseball. I loved playing baseball. And that's why I come at this whole Pete Rose thing as a guy that loves the sport of baseball. I'm a baseball fan. I was more likely to be the catcher for the Cincinnati Reds or the Los Angeles Dodgers than be a left-handed singer-songwriter. I was supposed to be Johnny Bench. And as an 11-year-old, they put me at second base. And I loved it. That year, in my head, that's what I was. I played Pete Rose. And he always made – that's why they called him Charlie Hustle. He made up for everything he could pull out of God-given talent, and then he'd go the extra mile with a dive and some type of incredible save or run head-on into the fence and come out holding that ball up. And if my memory serves me correct, one time he came out there and spit a tooth out. I mean, it's like I could see this stuff, and I could see old Sparky Anderson coming off third base and turning into an umpire on a bad call. Like, people love the coach. I'll say that about Tommy Lasorda, who's become a dear friend. I love Tommy Lasorda a great deal. He actually let me become a catcher for the Dodgers one day in 1993, and Mike Piazza was the catcher, and I put on his gear and used his glove and got behind the plate at Dodger Stadium, and it was just an absolute dream come true. But it was 11 years before that, I was being scouted by the Dodgers to play for the Dodgers. So it was 10 years of this moment where I said, I'm supposed to be a singer-songwriter, and this is my purpose. And somehow, you know, God will give me the wisdom and vision to use my purpose to represent the things like positivity. And that's what I've been praying for. And just being in this moment now, even speaking with you, speaking with your audience. I caught the show this morning, and I got to tell you, you were bang on about that tennis match. And it was the best tennis match in the history of tennis. And I have the one and only unfortunate, unique story that I was on a flight taking off out of LAX and counting on their satellite. And by the time they're in overtime, my satellite dish is cutting in and out. And I'm sitting, I've tried to watch it on that airplane, knowing that I'm missing the greatest plays ever made in this. Both players deserve to be applauded. That was a real show yesterday. And the sportsmanship and the rise above the norm mentality was to be appreciated.
How did you become a performer? What drew you to performing?
Again, it was something about, the way I was raised. Where I was raised, my mom and dad, my grandma and papa, they all played music. There was always music. My dad had a gospel quartet. Harmony was a big part of that quartet. It was four-piece harmonies, and that's what I always loved and still love to this day, is doing harmonies for a song, you know. And that's why I first heard Old Town Road. I said, man, he don't need me to write a verse for that thing. I'll go do a harmony or something for him, but that song's a hit. He don't need me to do anything.
What are the specifics of how you two came together?
Well, believe it or not, Lil Nas X was so ahead of the game that without a record company and without millions of dollars, he had stepped out into the forefront with TikTok and this interaction between the people. The people get to become the song, and that's Lil Nas saw that early on with this thing before the year was over last year, and he tweeted, can anybody help me get this song to Billy Ray Cyrus? I didn't know that he had sent that tweet, and I didn't hear the song until March 14th of this year. So basically 3 months went by since he tweeted that up, but I didn't know about it. And then on the 14th of March, I got a message that this young man from Atlanta wanted me to hear his song and join him on a record, and something about it just struck me that I should listen to it. And when I listened to it, as soon as I just hit play right then, they'd seen it, and I hit MP3 of it. And when it played, all I knew was I loved it. And it just felt so good. I play by ear. I don't have musical training, so I just play what I feel, and something about it felt really good. Well, I remember thinking, when I heard the demo of Achy Breaky Heart, something about it felt really good. I thought, man, this feels, there's something about this that feels good. And so in retrospect, something just going with my instincts and feeling, looking for something that felt like it was special.
Again, Old Town Road, number one for 15 weeks. It remains the number one song in the world. How often, Billy Ray, do you get that feeling? Does that happen a lot where you're like, wow, this feels so good. I know I've got the ear for something here. This is going to catch.
Dan, I wish I knew the answer to that, but it's like everything in life, to be honest. It's like baseball. Let's go back to baseball. Life is like baseball. Before you can ever get a hit, you got to step up to the plate. And then when you step up to the plate, you got to swing. And you just got to swing. And you just got to swing. And you keep swinging. Trust me, I swing at many more balls that I miss than the ones I hit. Certainly in this pursuit of this dream of music, because there were way more failures than successes. Unfortunately, it's actually very tragic, you know. But that being said, at this given moment, I speak to you from my home in Singing Hills, Tennessee, and I'm upstairs in a studio up here that where I've written for the years. And I look back, and that album from 1992, there used to be these things called the CDs. You remember CDs?
Yes, sir.
Right after cassette. And back in them days when a record would go platinum, then double, then triple, then up to diamond, they'd give you a whole record leading up to 10. So that ends up being a pretty huge plaque. And I happen to be speaking to you now, looking at this album from 1992, and there's all these plaques leading up to this big one. And then it's got the nine for 9 million in the United States in the year of 1992. Remember, and I started that year out in a Chevy Beretta that I called my home. Like, I was down to, like, the last try of doing this, thinking, man, maybe this just ain't going to happen. But for that being said, it is, for all the dreamers out there, remember, it's persistence. Just keep swinging. Just keep stepping up to the plate. Just stay focused. You're bound to get a hit, but you've got to keep swinging. And if you get knocked down, again, let's back to Pete Rose. Pete Rose taught me this. When you get knocked down, you get back up.
You were living in a Chevy Beretta? That's literal? You're saying you were living in it?
I played at that point. I had like 3 to 4 to 5 little jobs that I played up around Appalachia and Eastern Kentucky, Southern West Virginia, Ohio, Virginia, Myrtle Beach, Atlanta. I was also going through a divorce. And so at that time period, I'd lost my home. Matter of fact, that song, Where Am I Gonna Live When I Get Home, off of the album Some Gave All. See, what happened with that album is it was a succession of 5 singles that came off that album with Achy Breaky Heart leading it off. But each one of those songs just kept pumping that album. And with another hit, 3 of those songs I wrote during 1 week of 1989. The second one was Where Am I Gonna Live When I Get Home. And then on the next night I wrote She's Not Crying Anymore. And then two nights went by and I didn't write anything. And then on a Sunday night, I met a Vietnam veteran that I'd never met in this bar in Huntington, West Virginia before. And on driving home that night, I wrote a song about him called All Gave Some and Some Gave All. And that song ended up being not only the song that was my last pitch to throw was to go play Some Gave All. And somebody finally said yes after 10 years of being told no. And that became the cornerstone of Achy Breaky Heart, She's Not Crying Anymore, the album Some Gave All. And talking to you now today, 3 decades later, this old man gets to talk to you today, who I happen to be a fan of the show. So it's fun to talk to you and your team. I love all your players, man, everybody that throws out their ideas and thoughts. It's a really great show.
Thank you, sir. Well, Billy, I'm glad you said that because Billy has been trying to get in here on the baseball questions. I want to keep asking you about music and I want to keep asking you about your life, but Billy is obsessed with your baseball take. So go ahead, Billy. What did you want to ask him?
Well, here's the thing. Billy Ray. Hi, Billy Ray. It's Billy Gill. Here's the thing. He keeps using these baseball analogies. Like, you got to step up to the plate and eventually you'll get a hit. But then I'm concerned about the way baseball is changing with the shifts. And I feel like maybe now, like, before, you'd be able to get a hit, but now you can't get a hit because they've moved everybody to one side of the field. And I'm kind of wondering how you feel about the shift, Billy Ray.
Man, I've been so busy keeping up with Old Town Road, I'm not sure that I've felt the shift other than to think of what baseball is to me. The definition of baseball is Pete Rose. And it's always about a team that rises above the expectations and exceeds to a world championship. Take that world championship to a kid that grew up in Flatwoods, Kentucky in 1975. We needed something to believe in, and here come the big red machine with superstars and real baseball players. And I think it's just so great. Whatever that shift is, I'm a baseball fan, so I love the game. I think this would be a good time for all of whatever shifting for everybody to agree. There's room for forgiveness. I don't know of anything that's so bad that, especially in a world where you think back to that time period, Pete Rose will be the first to tell you he bet on some games, but they wasn't his game. And that back in those days, he wasn't the only one that did that. It was a thing that people from that era, but he wasn't using steroids or enhancements or any chemicals. He was Pete Rose out of God-given talent. I think it would be such a healing process for baseball if they'd just go ahead and say, man, this year we're putting Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame.
Stugatz wants to ask you something, too, here, now that we've got you.
I'm totally with you on Charlie Hustle. I'm wondering, do you think the balls are juiced?
Pardon me?
The balls juiced? What do you think?
He wants to talk about Pete Rose and his love of Pete Rose and his campaign to get Pete Rose into the Hall of Fame. He doesn't want to talk to you guys about shifts or juice balls.
Well, I think we have
a
passion.
Wait a minute.
Whoa.
I got my hand raised, but y'all can't see me. I'm raising my hand. Can I ask a question?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Whose balls are juiced? I don't know what you're talking about.
It's a good question, Billy, and I thank you for asking it. Basically, what's happening is in baseball, there are so many home runs, and the commissioner of baseball is saying it's because the baseball is a different kind of baseball. It's slick. It goes out of the park easier. So there's a record pace on home runs, and some people are suggesting it's because the ball is juiced up.
Holy man. You know what? Now, see, I'm a student. I'm just learning this now. And again, I'm not making excuses, but I got on a rocket ship ride about 16 or 17 weeks ago. And it seems like everything's just been moving and so much. And I've been just going, man, just stay focused. You got to play your game right now. Play this thing out, man. This is getting interesting. And then all of a sudden, I mean, as a competitor, when you go, wait a minute. You mean at 16 weeks, you tie the record, and I'm sitting at 15 weeks, which means if this thing goes one more, we're tied for the record.
Can you explain to us the last 4 months, what have they been like?
Yeah, I can tell you exactly in one sentence. I was sitting in the front seat of my bus the other night after playing the 4th of July in Roswell, New Mexico, and I was just staring at the window thinking, I just flew in from England and landed here and just did this. And about that time, this great big bug just smacked head on into the windshield. And I looked at the driver and said, you know what the last thing the bug saw was before he hit that windshield? And he said, no, what? And I said, his ass. And then when I look back now and I look back these last 4 months, it's kind of like that bug, man. It's been a blur. It's been a blur. And getting to this moment again, talking to you guys is a bit refreshing for me for just a second to step away and think about. And I just happened to watch that tennis match yesterday, and I just thought it was just so unbelievable. I mean, that is the definition of competition, of sport, of excellence. It was all there, and we all got to witness really great performance, except, like I said, mine was cutting in and out because of the satellite on the airplane.
Old Town Road is number one for 15 weeks, remains the number one song in the world, and Chevy's and Ford is being released this Friday. You guys got more baseball questions for Billy Wright? Because I want to talk to him about music, and you guys keep asking him baseball questions, and he wants to talk about Pete Rose. Do you have any Pete Rose questions for him, Stugatz?
No, I think I'm good. I think we can move on to the music portion. I think his position on Charlie Hustle is pretty clear at this point.
Yes, that's right. It is very clear. So go back to what we were talking about with the Chevy Beretta, and you were saying that you were close to quitting. Why were you close to quitting? What was happening there?
Man, I was 29 and just about to hit 30, and it scared me a lot because everybody that I went to school with was either deceased or had a job and like a real job and like was their lives were normal. And I was living in that bar 4 or 5 nights a week, 4 sets a night, and just truly living a moment of the music. And that moment was my reality. And it is very similar. Now, 3 decades later, I had found myself all last year just in a moment, to be honest, of therapy. I said to myself, man, go back like 91 and just live the music. And my motto then was lean into the music, just lean into the music and just live it and lean into it. And I spent the previous year and a half kind of doing that. It all just kind of came together in this moment of this spring and this summer, talking with you guys today now and thinking, wait, this record I'm looking at goes to 17 weeks. That album, Some Gave All, holds the Billboard Top 200 all genre, as they say, chart, Billboard Top 200, number 1 week, Some Gave All, 17 weeks. There's a side of me, trust me, that goes, wait a minute, if we can just get to 16, then wouldn't it be great to end my whole career? Like if the record could just go to 17, and I could have the album at 17 weeks at number 1 and the single at 17 weeks at number 1, I promise you I would retire that night at midnight. This would be a good time for me to step out.
So really? Really? You're going to quit? If you get 2 more weeks at number 1, if Old Town Road gets 2 more weeks at number 1, Billy Ray Cyrus might retire like Michael Jordan on top, but Michael Jordan ended up coming back.
I've got to be honest. I sure sound like a perfect way to go. I have to say that. It makes me smile to think about it, and it would be an interesting thought. Yeah, I'm going to go back to baseball one pitch at a time. Yeah. You're only as good as the last game you pitch. Right now, I just got to focus on step by step.
I got my hand up. Can I ask a question? You can't see me, but I got my hand up. Can I ask a question of you?
Okay.
All right. Did Federer choke?
It's so bad.
Roger Federer.
Did Roger Federer choke? He said he was on a flight. He didn't even see that. He couldn't see the big epic match because he was on a flight.
Billy Wright, 40-15 with the match on his racket. He's got 2 set points and he couldn't get it done. He's the greatest tennis player ever, but even the greatest can choke from time to time.
I want to talk to him about music.
Okay, but let me answer his question. He was plotting not to raise his hand, so let me answer him, and I'm going to say the truth. Here's the truth. I didn't know what happened until this morning that I had made it to my destination and had the TV on drinking a cup of coffee trying to come back to earth and was watching your all show. And you all caught me up to speed. I didn't get to see it. And so you all caught me up, and it was that moment of going, wow, man, I'll have to tell these guys later today that they told me the moral of the story of how this thing ended. Because I watched their show this morning. I love the show. Plus, knowing that we was going to talk, I wanted to see where y'all was at in your lives right now.
Well, thank you, Billy, for catching up with us. Old Town Road, number 1 for 15 weeks, remains the number 1 song in the world. There is the possibility that he will retire in 2 weeks if you get him to number 1 for 17 straight weeks. Chevy's and Ford is being released this Friday. Billy Ray, good catching up with you. Thank you for making the time for us, sir.
All right, guys, I appreciate the show. And anybody that wants to join us at Pete Rose, and Pete Rose deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, celebrate the power of the people. It's not about the critics and that now. The Old Town Road has proven the power of the people could be strong. That could be a harness of everybody just saying, hey, this is a good thing. Forgiveness is a good thing. Let's put Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame now. He's 78 years old, and like he deserves to be in there. Let's make this happen now. And thank you all for taking the time to shed the light on Pete.
Does Miley agree with you on Pete Rose, just out of curiosity?
You know what? Let me tell you who does. I got it on film. I was going to release it if we talked to Pete today, because I put a camera on my mom, who's 78, and my mother-in-law, who's 83. And both of them gave testimonials to how much the Big Red Machine meant to all of us growing up back in the Ohio River Valley. And I thought, man, if Major League Baseball saw this, that these two women are saying, hey, we want to see Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame before something happens to us. I thought that was pretty powerful stuff. So anyway, Miley, I'll have to ask her. We've not had the conversation, but I'll tell you, if you ask Miley about Pete Rhodes, you know what she would say?
What?
Is he the one that in my daddy's book, Hillbilly Heart, is he the one that cussed at daddy at the car lot up in Ashland, Kentucky? And Miley would say, yes, that was Pete Rose. When I was a kid, Miley loves this story. It's true, and I'll leave you with this. Pete Rose actually gave me a little cussing up there. He was doing autographs in Ashland, Kentucky, and I went through the line like three times. And on the third time, he looked at me and said, how many damn times you going to come through this line, son? And about that time, my mom jerked me by the collar and smacked me on the back of the head. She yanked me out of line. She turned to Pete Rose and said, don't you cuss, my boy. Then she popped me again, slung me in this old Ford Falcon that was parked out front, and we drove off. And Miley would tell you, Pete Rose is the one that cussed my dad out when he was a little boy.
But you're filled with forgiveness. Do you want to leave him a message? We got to get you out of here because I know you got to go. You're very busy. But Pete Rose, we've been calling him throughout this segment because we wanted to surprise you at the end with Pete Rose, and we've just been told that we missed him. So do you want to leave him a message if we send to him something that you wanted to say?
Here's what I wanted to say.
Hold on a second. We're going to make the phone call for you.
Sorry I missed your call. I will get back with you as soon as possible. Thank you and have a great day.
At the tone, please record your message.
Mr. Pete Rose, this is Billy Ray Cyrus, and I know you're on an airplane right now, and I'm praying for your safe travels. This is no hurry whatsoever, but I had seen that you had gave the show a call today that your flight got moved, and I wanted you to know I'm so looking forward to speaking with you and just telling you how much you've meant to all of us back in the Ohio River Valley. My mom, my mother-in-law's made messages for you like, we just love you, wanted you to know, and I look forward to speaking with you, but most importantly, have safe travels today and looking forward to the future. And thank you for the power of the 14, my man. Thank you so much and the inspiration. God bless you. Travel safe, sir.
Billy, thank you so much for being on with us. We really do appreciate your time, and we will get behind the Pete Rose cause.
Yes, we will. And Billy, one last request maybe before you go. I think it's a good idea.
We got to let him go.
I'm going to let him go right here. But me, you, Dan, and Miley, next week talking Pete Rose. Couple of mentions cutting it up. Can we make that happen?
Yeah. Yeah, because listen, back from my old car salesman days, I know that you don't sell the car on the first day. It's about the follow-up. It's about the follow-up. And it was the same with the record business. It's about the follow-up. It'll probably be the same with Pete Rose in Hall of Fame. We'll have to follow this up. And next week is a good follow-up.
All right, we will do that.
And I'll try to, but I'll tell you what I really want to do. I think I'm going to come down. I'll do some national. I'll sing for my supper. If they'll put Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame, I'll show up wherever Major League Baseball needs me. If they need an Old Town Road national anthem, let me know. I'll sing for this. I'll work for this. And I saw y'all, your opening shot is down there out of Miami, right?
Yes, sir.
So I'm hoping to come down. Why didn't y'all come out to Rolling Loud, man? That was one of the coolest festivals. And that's when I knew something crazy was happening in my world, when I looked up and I was coming out at Rolling Loud in Miami, and it was unbelievable. Were any of you there?
No, you didn't invite us. I mean,
I didn't have time to put a guest list together.
Yeah, that's
man.
A good point. Yeah, it's a fair. You're a busy guy.
He's got a lot going on.
Listen, we'll work on all this, but let's start next week with me, you, Miley, and Dan.
Listen,
the Pete Rose thing will pick up steam. We get Miley behind
us. All right,
us,
we're behind it. Let's go. We'll get everybody behind
it.
We will figure out a way to put you guys together so we could get some momentum behind this. Thank you again for being on with us. Happy to have you on.
Thank you, guys. I feel something really good's coming from today, and I hope we speak next week. And I hope Pete Rose is on the line with us, man. Let's keep this. I like it already.
All right.
About this feels good.
All right. We're going to put pressure.
Hope Pete Rose is on the line, and we hope Miley is. So we're good.
Knock it off.
No, I'm serious. Dan, I'm saying Miley would do a lot of good. She would. She'd get a lot of people behind this for Billy Ray. It's important.
You know what? And she loves baseball. And Noah loves baseball. All my family loves baseball. And that's what baseball, really, in the glory days of the Big Red Machine, it was about family. Well, like you said, there's been a little shakeup. somebody's got their balls juiced. Let's go back to family.
Billy, good talking to you. Family and forgiveness is his message.
I'll see you guys soon.
See you later. All right. Appreciate Billy and Stugatz here throwing a bunch of firecrackers at Billy Ray Cyrus. We're going to throw a change up next week. John Urschel is a former offensive lineman in the NFL, and now he is a rising mathematical star. I've been wanting to talk to this guy for a while. He's a bit of a beautiful mind, and he thinks unusually, and the choices he's made since football are interesting. So we'll talk to John Urschel next week. We're also reminding you, LebitardAF.shop is where we'd like you to go if you want some merch to rep the show. If you're a part of the Stugatz Army and you want to show it, LebitardAF.shop is the place that will be expanding with your support. So we thank you for the way you've supported it so far, and we'll talk to John Urschel next week.